We open to you this morning.
Amen.
We open our heart.
Amen.
We turn to our spirit.
Amen.
Speak a word to us.
Amen.
Speak to all of us.
Amen.
Be with us.
Amen.
Join us.
Amen.
We don't like to be apart from you.
Right.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
How about we all read the title of message 2 together? Ready? Go.
Service and living by the priesthood. Enjoying Christ and abstaining from death.
Amen.
How about the brothers read Roman numeral 1? Ready? Go.
A priest according to God's ordinance.
Amen. Be sure and have a pen. Who doesn't have a pen? If you need a pen or pencil to write with, the brothers will come around and get you something to write with. As I'm speaking, I'd like you to take notes. And if I say underline something, please underline it or circle it or whatever method of note-taking you take, okay? So in this first Roman numeral, I'd like you to underline the word ordinance, okay? And we'll come back to that later. How about sisters, you read Roman numeral A. Ready, go.
Our condition, sin, and sins.
Wow. Our condition, sin and sins.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a difference, a delineation between sin and sins. As some of our brothers have already shared, you know, there's a difference. We were born in sin, therefore you don't have to do anything to just have sin within you. It's actually your condition, right? And sins is the act of carrying out what you are, right? So whether you like it or not, the day you were born in sin. Right? Brother, come here real quick. What's your name?
Emmanuel.
Oh, look how sweet Emmanuel looks. Isn't he sweet? Look at that smile. He looks just such a good little brother. You know what his condition is? His condition is sin. He was born a sinner. Thank you, Emmanuel. You know, I've got a nephew, and he's three nephews, and he's the middle one. I have stories for all three of them. So let me do the youngest one. The youngest one, Blake. Because he's the youngest, and his brothers are bigger and they pick on him. He has become the fighter among the three, right? His nature is he doesn't care that his brothers are older. One day I just saw him pick up a bat and he was about to strike his other brothers with the bat. I just realized he's only four. How does this guy know to, I saw Cain about to slay Abel right there, right? You see, no one had to teach him this. It's just in his being, right? Yeah. This is who he is. His condition is sin. And he was about to commit some sins there, right? He was about to attack his brothers. Well, this is who we are. We're born sin. And because we're born this way, our default many times is just to commit sins, right?
Yeah.
No matter how sweet looking we are, or how good we are, our condition is sin. I'll give you another illustration. You know, when I was in high school, I had a friend who I would stay at his house a lot, and he had several dogs. I was not a dog person like Mauricio, but he had this one little fat beagle, and he was just a cute, cute little, you know, he waddled, he was so big, and his name was Barkley. And everybody who came over to my friend's house would love to just pet Barkley, and he was such a loving dog, you know, he didn't bark very much, he just liked to sleep and eat all the time, you know, and so Barkley would just come next to you. If you told him to go away, he'd go away, he'd like give you the sad look, can I come now, you know, and he was just a sweet dog. One time, Barkley was right next to me, and all of a sudden, I was like, what is that odor? And my friend, Cassidy, turns, he's like, that's Barkley. And there was just a foul smell, right? And I was like, how can this cute little pudgy dog produce such a foul smell? And I had to recognize his inward being is just foul. Right, as cute as he is, he's just foul on the inside. Right, I'll give you another illustration. When I was in elementary school, there was this kid. We shouldn't have called him this, but when we were in elementary school, there was this kid. We called him Barbecue, or if we didn't call him Barbecue, we called him Firewood. And I look back, and it's like every time I got around him, you know who Pigpen is from the Peanuts gang? You know, he was that guy. You know, and I realize now, you know, it's because he was in an environment permeated, filled, right? And all he received was this smell of firewood, right? He lived in a house where everything was wood burning, and so he just emanated. Who he was when he talked to you, hey, Zeke, it just smelled like firewood, you know? And even he didn't have to be that close to you. He'd be walking, and it's like, man, firewood, you know, why are you permeating firewood? And so who his being was, you know, because he was just permeated and saturated with firewood, he just always smelled like firewood. Well, this is our condition. Whether you realize it or not, you are putting off an odor of sin, right? The problem is we don't recognize it. Because we're all in sin, we don't recognize we have a foul odor. Yeah. We think we're all okay, right? But actually, our condition is sin and sins, okay? What is the condition of a priest? How about brother? Oh, no, let's read the verses. Romans 3:9. Ready? Go.
We have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin.
Amen. Romans 3:23. Go. We're all under sin, and we all have sinned, okay? So we just need to be clear. This is our condition. Okay, brothers, read Roman numeral B. Ready, go.
The condition of a priest, holy and kingly.
Okay, right next to holy and kingly, put an equal sign. Holy and kingly equals, what do you think? There's a lot we could define it. But for the purpose of this conference, we're going to define it as uncommon. Okay? Uncommon. Right? You know, if you lived back in the area of kings and lords and, you know, queens, you know, maybe the 1400s, you know, if you weren't part of the king, you know, or the king's court, you were known as a commoner. Right? You were common. Right? And a priest is someone who is also not a common person. And a priest is also uncommon. So we're here fellowshipping about the priesthood. And though we have a role as being kingly, mainly this weekend we're talking about the priesthood, and both mean that you're an uncommon person. Okay? So how about, sisters, read Leviticus 6:18. Ready, go. Shall be holy.
Amen.
This is what you should be. You should be holy. You shouldn't be a person who's foul and odorous, but you should be a person who is what? Who receives, who's filled, who's saturated, who's permeated with the Lord, so that you are a holy person. You're an
Amen.
Uncommon person.
Amen.
Okay? So how about brothers? You read Leviticus 8:9. Ready, go.
And he placed the turban on his head, and on the turban he placed the golden plate, the holy crown, just as Jehovah commanded.
Right. So in this verse we see there's a holy crown. The way these priests dressed, there was a crown on their head. Right. How about we all read Revelation 5:10. Ready, go.
And I made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they reign on the earth.
Amen. Leviticus is in the Old Testament. Revelation is in the New Testament. So we have some verses in the beginning of the Bible and some verses in the end of the Bible that are consistent, that show that we are to be priests and we're also to be kingly, right? Let's go back to the definition of a priest. You know, I was giving some illustrations of what it is to be under sin and to be sinful. So we would think, maybe some of us would think, oh, okay, Brother Rudy, I shouldn't be a sinner, I should be good. Right? I should be a good person. Well, that's not bad. You at least should be good. But that's not the standard, right? The standard actually is just Christ, our righteousness.
Amen.
Right? So to be a priest is not just to be someone who does good. It's actually much higher than this. And it's not something that we do. but it's who we are.
Amen.
And it's not just to be good, but it's to have Christ be within us.
Amen.
It's for us to receive Christ,
Amen.
To be filled with Christ, to be permeated with Christ, right? That is the standard. And so the next section is called Christ, our propitiation. Propitiation. This is an SAT word, right? Juniors and seniors at our young people's meetings. I always, in the ministry, I point out the SAT words. Because if you read the ministry, you'll get quite a bit of vocabulary, right? And so propitiation, I wouldn't be surprised. At least the root word of this, you might come to know it. Right? So propitiation equals what brings us up to standard. Just write that down next to propitiation. What brings us up to the standard. How about everyone read Hebrews 2:2. Ready, go. Amen. And John 1:29b, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away sin of the world. The Lord's view is that he himself is a propitiation for the entire world, right? And it makes it clear that the Lord Jesus is that person who's the propitiation for the world, right? You know, Luke 15 shows us that, he's a loving father, right? And there he takes back a son who's gone off astray and squandered his inheritance, and he wants to be the propitiation. He was, at one point, the son of this kingly father, but he squandered, he did so many things to bring him back to the status of the, in the house of the king. He then, he put on a robe, put sandals on his feet, he cut the fattened calf. He was a propitiation for this son. And so this is what we need to see. Our condition is one way. We need to be holy and kingly. We're short, and we have a way. Christ, our propitiation. Okay? How about we all read Roman numeral 2? Everyone, ready, go.
Christ, the reality of all the offerings for the priesthood.
Good. And I think what we're going to do here is transition. Well, how about we read letter A. Ready, go. Amen. Hebrews 10:14, brothers.
For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, even as theirs, and their sins and their lawlessness. I shall by no means remember anymore.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to make one point that reiterate a point that Zeke made last night. It's hard for you to understand what all these offerings are about, because we don't live in a society where you're exposed to this all that much. But during that time, like Zeke was sharing, their blood had to be shed for you to be forgiven of your sins, right? And so it's a little graphic, but you have to understand, literally, when I was a kid, my great-grandfather has a ranch in Mexico, and I remember I would go with all my cousins, we would leave the city, and the ranch was about an hour outside the city, and on the way, there was this huge goat farm, and we would always pick a goat, because one of the big dinners we would have would be to partake of this goat. And since I was usually one of the guests, I was the cousin from the U.S., and I had like 12 male cousins from Mexico, they would let me pick the goat. And so we would go to this goat farm, and literally you're just walking in a sea of goats. And my cousin, I can't remember if my uncle, my cousin, I said, which one do we pick? He says, the one that hits you. And so we would walk through it, and we'd wait for that one goat that just, boom, he just ran into you. That's the one. That's the one who's going to die. Okay? And literally, we'd pick that one. And we'd, he was always kind of a hard-headed, rebellious one. Come on, he didn't want to come. And my uncles made the young boys do it. He says, no, you got to learn. you get them. And so we'd get them, and we couldn't wrangle them, and he'd hit us, and it was kind of a struggle to get to the truck. And eventually we'd get him in the truck, and all of us are just sitting in the back of the truck, you know, we're just looking at the goat, you're gonna die. You know, and when we got to my grandfather's ranch, you know, you would hang him by his hindquarters with rope, and then you would hold his neck, and then there would be this big long knife, and my uncle would just slit his throat right there, and they would just bleed him out. Ooh. Right? Oh, what? How evil is that? Or, you know, what is our feeling? The Lord ordained that for you to be forgiven your sins, blood had to be shed. Something had to die in place of you, you see. That little goat, right, is a picture of something that had to take your place. You see, you're the one worthy of death. But unless there's propitiation for you, unless there's something that takes your place, that sin is not taken care of, okay? And so Christ on the cross is our unique offering that took your place. You see, we all deserve to die. You don't think so. You know, you're living in our society where everything should be good and everything should be nice, and I should have, you know, nice friends, and, you know, I should have 1,000 Facebook friends, and, you know, people should like me at my school. They should just think I'm nice, and I'm just kind of blend in, and my life is pretty good. You know, actually, we're a little bit insulated. We're far removed from what's on God's heart and the reality of how things are, you see. And we're living in this world not knowing, and so we come to these conferences so that we can let you know what's going on, what's the reality. Y'all are all pigpen, right? You're all garlicked, therefore you think you're okay, but we're not okay, right? But there's a way out. And so John Mark is going to come up here, and he's going to share more on these offerings.
Amen. Amen. So I get the pleasure of talking through the first three. So maybe let's start off with reading number one and then what follows that. Go.
Burnt offering. Only Christ, the righteousness of God, is absolute and can satisfy God.
So I think we all have to realize to begin with, just like all the brothers have shared, that we are not absolute. I think I realized this probably less when I was your age, and I realize it more when I was, you know, as I get older. One experience that I had when I was younger that really convicted me was, I don't believe, I was even before the Lord, but I don't believe I have directly denied the Lord, right? In a sense of like Peter did. But indirectly, I have many times. I've been with friends that haven't necessarily said, you know, John Mark, do you believe in Jesus? Tell me right now. You know, nothing like that. I've never been in a persecuted situation like that. And, I hope I never am, because that's very intense. But there have been times where people have said things about the Lord that I knew weren't right. You know, they have they've made a joke about something in a loose way. Whether it be around brothers in the church life or whether it be around just my friends that, you know, maybe weren't believers. But this absoluteness was exposed to me, or the lack of absoluteness was exposed in me. And you see, you know, was there a reaction to me? Yeah, there was. There was a, oh, that's not right. I don't fully believe in that. But nothing came out of my mouth, right? Because of I was in fear of losing something that I had with them, right? And in doing that, I mean, the Lord really exposed me of my lack of absoluteness for him. And so in each of these points, you know, we have the meal offering, the peace offering, sin offering, and trespass offering. We're going to be exposed by our environment of our lack. And that's a good thing. None of us, like, you know, everybody has been sharing, none of us are sinless. We were born with sin. We have sin in us, and we are going to sin, and we are not right before God, and we are not absolute, but there is one who is absolute, and that one is Christ, right? Amen. Christ was absolute for God, sinless in his humanity, went to the cross and died this gruesome death for us so that, what? We could lay our hands on him.
Amen.
So I think the real point in all these offerings is that, one, we need to know this for a fact. We need to be able to stand on this. Say, this is our foundation. I am not the absolute one. The Lord is the absolute one. I am not the sinless one, and the Lord is the sinless one. And we can move forward and enter into the priesthood. So this is our provision. This is our way. This is our ability to give ourselves, right? Our heart is one to say, Lord, I want to be a priest. You know, maybe there's something rising up within you. But until we can stand on something concrete, there's no way for us to go on. The meal offering. Let's read that one together. Go.
Meal
offering. Only Christ
is fine, and only he can live and daily walk righteously before God.
So on this one, I was really impressed with the matter of daily walk, right? I mean, at some point in our life, we can probably point to that time and say, I was righteous then, right? Or maybe I did the right thing in that situation. But when you expand it to, right, daily walk, I mean, who passes that one? None of us do. And on one hand, we have to realize that. None of us can say we daily walk in righteousness. There are times at work, you know, actually, there was a time at work where I said something. And right now, I'm 6 years at a company, okay? And so I'm at a level where I have some authority. I have people working underneath me, and they better respect me, right? Because I am their boss. I have the ability to fire and hire people. I have fired two people already. At my young age, that's crazy, you know, to put that kind of responsibility on someone that's only 32 years old. So that's just where I am, and I have to accept that. And I was at work, and I was a little loose, and we had an intern who was doing something that I just really didn't like. And he left, and he was from another city, so I didn't like him even more. And he left, and he was on loan to us. He left, and he was out doing something. And I made a comment about punishing him in a certain way that was not righteous. And there was a staff two who's a second year. She was a staff one at the time. I'm a sixth year, you know, person. She's a first year. She should be making me copies, right? She should be getting me water and picking up my dry cleaning, right? She said, "No, Jean-Marc, that's not right," in front of the whole team. And I was like, ooh. I mean, that was very bold of her, and she probably was not in line to say that. Two, I was not right. And it was funny, because I went home, and I told my wife, I said, Haley called me out at work. And Acacia was like, well, were you wrong? And I was like, yeah, I was wrong. And she was like, well, she probably shouldn't have called you out in that public environment, but you were wrong. And I had to actually go the next day, and I said, Haley, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. You have been at the firm for 8 months. I shouldn't have said what I did, and I shouldn't set that kind of tone on the team, and I'm sorry. I mean, so this matter of daily walk in righteousness is impossible. You have to realize that. We can be good, but we're not righteous in our daily walk. We need Christ.
Amen.
So if there's anything I can impress, I want you to know that you need Christ.
Amen.
And this, and not to discount yourself because of who we see that we are. We say, okay, we are unrighteous. I am unrighteous. But if I stop there, there's no entering into the priesthood. I need this provision to say, Lord, you are my righteousness.
Amen.
I need to enjoy you more.
Amen.
I need to live you more. And you will be the righteousness in me.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on to the peace offering. Let's read that. Go. Peace offering. Only Christ
can offer peace. Peace between God and man, and between man and God.
So in all aspects, we're all sinners. We all have this problem between us and God. And only Christ is the one who is the sinless one, who accomplished something in redemption to redeem us, to take care of the problem of sin, to give us access to God. So in seeing all these different aspects, we have to realize there is no peace between God and man. None at all, because of his righteousness and because of our sin. And only through Christ are we able to gain access to God, have peace with God. You know, this matter of life and peace, you know, they say there's sin, which is death, and there's life and peace. You know if you're doing, you know if you're in death because you feel death, and you know if you're in life and peace because you feel life and peace. This matter of life and peace is a real thing, but the only way for us to have peace with God is to be able to claim through Christ you know, the redemption of our sins and to become and to be able to come forward to God.
Amen.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to number 4 and 5. So here, let's all read while we transfer the sin offering. Go, sin offering.
Good. You know, those first three offerings that John Mark was sharing about, I want you to put the little note next to number 1, 2, and 3. Those three bring us into fellowship with God. Those first three offerings bring us into fellowship with God. And the next two, 4 and 5, bring us into light. Okay? The burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering. Oh, you know, the meal offering I really enjoyed this morning. You know, only Christ is fine. It reminded me, you know, of that song, Christ is a genuine man, the perfect and finest man, obedient, serving, no appearance of evil, the finest personality expressed through humanity. Very good, Isaac. Well, you sing much better than I do, right? I just make a joyful noise, okay? I try. You know, he is a fine man. You know, even after he was in the tomb, after he left the tomb, he folded up his garment. Did you know that? He folded up his garment. He had just been to Hades and back, and he took the time to fold his garment. What a fine man. You know, even as an adult, there's some days I walk away, and these days I work out of my house. I used to work in an office like John Mark for many years, and now I'm back to working out of my home office. And so my commute in the morning is from my bedroom to my office, right? And sometimes I have to go back through my bedroom to do something, and I notice you didn't make your bed. Oh, Lord, come on. And so there I am, you know, having to make my bed. The Lord bothered me. He says, are you or are you not a priest? He says, you need to be fine, right? You need to, this is his speaking to me. Make your bed, okay? So I have to make my bed.
Yeah.
Then my wife, sometimes she comes in from work and she's like, oh, the room looks great. You know, you made the bed. Yeah, the Lord bothered me. Amen. He's our real fine. You know, another illustration of this fine person. I got a text this morning. It says, brother, I'm setting the timer for my 2-minute shower. That was at 7:24. 7:26, done. Right? That's a person who took the word last night and followed that. That is the, you think that brother in himself? No, but the Lord touched him. And this morning, in the Lord, he took that. You know when I got that text? Just after I got out of my shower. And I was like, so I looked, I was like, I think I lasted about 4 or 5 minutes. So there I was, Lord, I confess. I shared with the brothers that they needed to take a 2-minute shower. And I took 5 minutes. I confess, I'm not a fine person. This brother's more fine than I am, right? And so, you know, Christ is our meal offering. He's fine. Okay, so sin offering. Only Christ has nullified. Oh, one thing on the peace offering. Write this under the peace offering. Peace offering is only good for the day offered. Peace offering is only good for the day offered. You have peace as Christ is your offering of peace between man and God, and man, but it's only good for that day. That's it. So you need to come again the next morning. Lord, I come to you. Lord, be my peace offering. Be my offering. Actually, maybe I'll spend a minute here. You know, now we know these offerings. What do we do with them? Well, we need to pray these things. And actually, in the trespass offering, the verse in Leviticus 5:6, it's one of the few verses in all the offerings where it says, you shall confess. We actually need to confess, not just who we are, but who Christ is. Christ is the only righteous one. Christ is the only fine one. Christ is the only one who's peace. Christ is the only one who nullified sin. Christ is the only one who can overcome the world.
Amen.
Christ, our unique offering.
Amen.
Lord, I'm none of these things, but you're all of these things.
Amen.
And sometimes I'm so far from you. I go to school. I go throughout my day. I'm just me. I'm not living anything of Christ. Lord, at sixth grade, I want to learn, what is Brother Rudy talking about? What is this business about peace offering and meal offering and sin offering? It's just a bunch of Old Testament stuff. It's old. No. You know, Deuteronomy says, you know, the first four books, the first five books of the Bible, by the time you get to Deuteronomy, I know we pointed out in this previous conferences, by the time you get to, you know, Genesis has a particular message, Exodus has a particular message, Leviticus, Numbers has a particular message. By the time you get to Deuteronomy, you know what it says? Well, you know what the word Deuteronomy means? Repeat. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Get to Deuteronomy, repeat number one. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And even there's verses that say you need to tell your children and your children's children. And they need to hear all the stories about all the offerings.
Amen.
This is not old, antiquated stuff that doesn't pertain to you. You see, all of this is a picture. It's a shadow. It's a type of what applies to you today in your life.
Amen.
Right? You are full of sin. You commit sins. And you can apply Christ as your unique offering. Right? Sin and trespass, I just want to go back. Sin offering is something that you don't know. I'll give you an illustration. Maybe you just commit a sin that you didn't know. You were just unaware. Like I've given the illustration, sometimes you don't realize that you're putting off something foul, right? And so the sin offering is for all the sins that you're unaware of. So sometimes my prayer, I remember praying this when I was your age. Lord, even all the sins, all the offenses, when I offend you and I don't even know I'm offending you, I pray for that right now. Lord, cover me for all the things that I forgot.
Yeah.
Right? And so we can pray this way. And then the trespass offering, this one is for all the sins that you know. Right? And what is it to trespass? Some of you, some of you younger ones, what is it to trespass? You know, when I think of trespass, I think of a fence line, you know, with a big sign. You know, you're on one side, you're on a piece of property, and on that side of the fence, there's another piece of property. And on the fence, there's a big sign that says, do not trespass, right? You're on one side, don't go to the other side. There's a clear line that's drawn. There's actually even a barrier between where you're at and the other side. And the sign says, do not trespass. The Lord is the same way. He has his kingdom, and there are common things that are not in his kingdom, and he wants us to draw the line, and he says, do not trespass. And sometimes we trespass. We go over there. So he is our trespass offering. Amen? Amen. What? All these things outward? No, all these things today are in our spirit.
Amen.
The spirit with our spirit. How about we all read Romans 8, 2 and 4? Ready, go.
For the law of the spirit of life has freed me. Requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Okay. Actually, let's do it this way. There's an order you need to be aware of. For some of you, and in this age in particular, it's sad that I have to point out, I think many of you probably are aware, but I guarantee you that many in your schools, they're not aware that there's an order in the universe, and there's an order of how things are, right? There's ordinances and there's laws. Let's begin with a low level of order, and that's called man's decency. Man's decency. This is a basic level of, you know, you should be kind. You should not be mean to someone. You should be kind, right? You should be polite. You should have manners. You should say yes, thank you, right? There's a level of decency, okay? But this is just a low standard, right? Then there's a higher order. It's called man's ordinances. You know, sometimes around this time of year, especially on a weekend like tonight, the city puts out an ordinance. Or if they have trouble with the kids in their area, the city puts out a curfew. All children, all kids, all young adults under the age of 18 need to be at home before 10 p.m. This is man's ordinance, right? This is man's ordinance. But still, that's a lower level of order. Then there's man's laws. Let me give you a law that will apply to some of you older ones. You cannot drink until you're age 21. That is a law of man. Okay? You cannot buy cigarettes until you're a certain age. You cannot do drugs. It is illegal. It's illegal. This is just man's law. Okay? There's no gray here. Let me give you another one of man's laws that's more common to maybe some of the younger ones. If a movie is PG-13 and you're not 13 and older, it is illegal for you to watch that movie. If it's PG-17, and you're not 17, the law is you cannot watch that movie. How many of you have confessed regarding breaking this law? I believe half of you. Some of you weren't even aware. Yeah, they're confessing they have a need, right? If it's rated R, you should not watch that movie. Okay. How many of us have broken that law? Right? We've broken that law. Okay. This is a low level of law. Then there's God's ordinances. He has a particular order of doing things. This is even higher than man's law. Higher than God's ordinances are God's laws. His laws, His commandments. Thou shalt honor your mother and father. You know what happens if you do this? The Lord promises you life. He promises you a long life. Honor your mother and father. With a promise, I'll give you a long life. Would you like a long life? Okay, do you want a short life? I'll give you the number one way to have even physically a short life. Dishonor your mother and father. Why? Because your mother and father are God on the earth to you. You see, if you can't honor just a mother and father, how do you expect to honor God? They're the immediate representation and expression of God on the earth to you. You need to honor your mother and father. This is His law. But even higher than all these laws is the law of the Spirit of life. And so my point in this point is that all of these things, all of the offerings, and all that God is, and the way to accomplish all these low-level laws is in the Spirit of life. We're no longer just bound by these ordinances and laws. We don't have to physically go and get a bull and cut it. right? We don't have to get a ram or a goat. We don't have to shed blood physically. And there is something, a higher law, called the law of the Spirit of life, that frees us.
Amen.
And that is over every law, you know? And that is Christ in our human spirit, okay? Let's go on to the next point real quick. Roman numeral 3, we're going to cover these pretty quick. Ready, everyone on the title, ready, go. Sisters, point A.
Better things are more defiling and abominable than sin.
Okay, brothers, Leviticus 10:10.
Make a distinction between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and clean.
Read that again, brothers.
Make a distinction between the holy and common, and between the unclean and clean.
Brothers, stand up and read that.
Make a distinction between the holy and common, and between the unclean and clean.
Everyone take out your pen and circle the phrase, make a distinction. Sisters, read the next verse. All right, and everyone read Matthew 7:21-23.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesied, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name did many works of power?
Okay, before I get into the first two verses, I'm going to cover Matthew 7:21. When we are saved, when we receive the Lord in our spirit, we're regenerated. Are we saved for eternity? Are you sure?
Yes.
No, I'm serious. Are you sure?
Yes.
So no matter what sin you commit, you're saved for eternity.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
If you're sure, I'd like you to stand up and say yes.
Yes.
Good. I want to ask you and try and give pause or doubt, but you can be bold that, you know, 1 John, he forgives us of every sin. He's faithful and he's righteousness. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of every sin. You know, because he is righteous, he has to forgive you if you confess every sin. But this is regarding your eternal salvation, okay? Eternal salvation. And for some of you, especially the younger ones, this may be the first time you hear this, there's a difference between your eternal salvation and before we go into eternity, there's a period of time for 1,000 years called the millennial kingdom, right? The kingdom. You know, what it looks like when the Lord comes back is there are some people who love him, and eventually the Lord, based on two things, based on righteousness and based on his love, he decides to come back. He sees a people who finally match him, and he says, because I'm righteous, I must come back. The bride has made herself ready, so I have to come back. But on the flip side, he sees a people who love him so much, he says, how can I not come back? The bride has made herself ready. They match me. I love them. I must come back.
Amen.
Right? So based on his love and righteousness, he returns, right? But he returns, and immediately after he returns, there is a judgment. There's actually a judgment for all the dead and the living. So if you're dead, you will be judged. You will be raised and then judged. If you're living at that time, you will be judged. You will meet the Lord your Maker. And he will say one of two things. He will say, and you have to understand, it's clear that for eternity, you're going to be with him. But regarding that period of time before eternity, that is what the judgment is about. Right? He judges the world. He judges many things. But he says, well done, Good and faithful.
Hi.
Dasha?
Yes.
Dasha?
Hi.
Well done. Or he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you worker of lawlessness. Right? One of the two. That's what he'll say. So, when we're talking about these things, the death, I'm not talking about eternal salvation. I'm talking about the millennial kingdom. Okay? So, let's go back to make a distinction between the holy and common. Like I was saying, you know, you see on a piece of property, sometimes you see a fence line. There's a distinction. There's a fence. And there's one side and there's the other side. You know, in the Bible, the Lord makes clear many principles. You know, he made two trees. Tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. He also made morning and evening, day and night. He made summer, winter, male and female. Okay? In particular, the dead things that are more defiling and abominable than sin at your age group are mainly two things: immorality and the abuse of substances. Okay? And immorality, we'll speak about two things. What does immorality mean, especially for the young ones? Immorality, I'll just spell it out for you. Sex outside of marriage is immorality. And if you don't know that that is wrong, you have now heard from a brother speaking to you at a conference that sex outside of marriage is immoral and is wrong. Amen. It's sin, right? Now, let me take it a step further. There's this progression here of what death is. You know, if I were to ask you, what is death? Actually, many of you probably wouldn't have a good explanation. None of us know exactly what death is. And that's what makes us so curious. What does death look like? What is it? You see, even I remember when I was in junior high or high school, there was these movies called Faces of Death. And they would just flock to these movies because they wanted to see, for the first time they put on screen, someone actually dying. Right? And young people were just so, they'd want, what does it look like? You see, you have this curiosity. So it causes you, well, there's a temptation there. That leads to sinning. There's a cycle of what happens. There's a temptation which leads to sinning. That sinning eventually leads to a hardness of heart, which is also expressed as indifference, which leads to unbelief. And your unbelief eventually leads to death. First, spiritually. But be warned that even it can lead to physical death. Yeah. See, it first starts with temptation. You're just tempted, right?
Yeah.
Then you dabble. You commit some sins. You do this sin long enough, eventually your heart is hard. You become indifferent. Ah, it's all good, man. What's the problem? Then they try to speak to you regarding the Lord and His things. Ah, I don't want to hear that. See, you see, I'm doing this, right? So your heart is hard toward the Lord. You become indifferent. Eventually, enough of that, it just leads to unbelief. What are they talking about? The Bible? That's fairy tales. That's a myth. You have unbelief. Eventually, you're a person who's just spiritually dead. And you're spiritually dead. There are many, many young people who've sat in your seat who eventually become physically dead. We've had young people. I remember he was a good young brother. He was just a good brother. He got tempted one time. And it led down this path. And it wasn't a long, this took a year type deal. This took a period of 1 month. He entered into this a little bit, a lifestyle of this. Then his heart got hard. It was a little bit of unbelief. And so within a period of a month, and then graduation night came. He had never done anything through high school. This was his senior year. He was about to graduate. On graduation night, he went out. They went swimming. They're in Austin, right in the river downtown. Never seen that brother again. He drowned. He died. And the people that he was companions with, his brothers, you know, some of us, we get so close to our friends that they're not our friends anymore. They're my brothers. I'll do anything for them. They'll do anything for me. And maybe that is the case at the moment, but it doesn't last. I grew up with the same kids from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. Same ones. We're in the same class. Because we were, you know, we were a particular honors class. So I've known them my whole life. The day after graduation, I think it took 10 years before I saw any of them again. 10. And then when I saw them, you know, it just wasn't the same. There's some things that were the same. But it's not like we were brothers. You know, I'll do anything for you. I got kids now, man. I got a wife. I got to work. You know, your life changes. Okay. Anyway, going down this way can lead to a spiritual death and a physical death. Okay. So what does death look like? Immorality. Now let's read the Nadab and Abihu. Ready, go. Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. Ready, go.
And Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in them, and laid incense on it. And they presented strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before Jehovah and consumed them. And they died before Jehovah.
Okay. I want you to write a couple of things right next to this. Write the word independence and bringing your independence to God's house. Okay? Things that lead to death are immorality, and in particular, a lifestyle. If you've committed a sin and you confess and you sin no more, you're fine. The Lord has forgiven you. There may be a little scar from that sin, but you're not living a lifestyle of sinning that leads to hardness of heart or indifference. It leads to unbelief. There's a difference. If you're a person living this way, you're just living in death, in immorality, in substance abuse. In other words, if you've tried smoking one time, you I'm not doing that again, that's different than if you're having a lifestyle of smoking, okay? Then, in this section, independence. If I were to cut off my arm and set my arm there and I sit over here, my arm is now independent of me. It's a little strange. The arm doesn't belong independent from my body. The arm belongs on my body. It is strange that it's independent. And to think that it's not strange is strange. Okay? But sometimes we cut off our arm, we have this independent thought, and then we try to convince others, hey, this is okay, right? Being gay is okay. No. Homosexuality is, if you have an independent thought that we need to progress from God's ways, you're wrong. God has set a way that they be male and female. That's how he created us, right? And it's clear. But the moment you start to bring your independent ways and your independent thought, in particular to God's house, that is a recipe for instant death. In this story, immediately the Lord struck these two down, right? He struck them down. I cannot tolerate this. The Lord has a severe penalty for this type of thing. So don't dabble in this. Don't start to have strange thoughts and bring your own natural independent thoughts, especially to God's house. If you have that thought, well, you need to go, you need to go before the Lord, go to your parents. But whatever you do, do not bring that to the other young people, or don't bring this to the house of God. If you have the thought, confess the thought. The worst thing you can do is bring that. You know what I think? You know what I think the brothers should share? You know what I think how they should handle this matter? And then bring it to the other young people, your independence. And bring it to the house of God. That is a recipe for the Lord to strike that down. Okay? How about everybody, we read Roman numeral 4. Ready, go. Okay, we got the hard part over with. All the negative, right? When we take Christ as our offering and enjoy Him in our spirit, there is an issue, okay? If you go down this path, the issue is death. If you go down the issue of taking Christ as all your offering, the issue is many things, and John Mark will cover a few of these. Amen.
Okay, so the issue of serving and living in the priesthood, right? What do we have as the issue? So first off, I want to say what Rudy just shared was the matter of where we will be if we are independent of God, right? If we are not enjoying. But if we go back to point 2, we see all those provisions. If we take advantage of these provisions, if we stand on these provisions, if we enjoy the Lord, we move, our relationship with the Lord progresses, then what happens is there's another issue. There's not death, there's life. And so that's what this is in point 4. So I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but just as an overall, when we enjoy the Lord and when we're in this environment, our mouths are opened, right? We behold Christ, which is we see Him. We realize He is real. You know, there is no doubt. If you're ever doubting that there is a God or that there is Christ, you just need to turn your heart. Get into the Word. Get around the brothers and sisters. When we are in the Word, when we are with the brothers and sisters, when we are enjoying Him, there is no doubt. We are beholding Christ. It is very clear. There's no doubt in your being. And not only when we behold Christ, but also when we're beholding His glory, what happens? We behold and we reflect. Others realize there's Christ, right? And then we are able to bless others. So let's just read through these points really quick in the sake of time. So let's do brothers on A, sisters on B, and then we'll alternate through. And I just encourage you, maybe after the meeting, you can really get into the verses and read them in groups. Okay, brothers, go on A.
We before God.
God appears to us.
God's glory appears to us.
We are able to bless others.
We are accepted by God.
We are rewarded by God.
Amen. So these are all the things that happen when we enjoy the Lord, when we're in the Word, when we're with the saints, when we're going on with our companions.
Amen.
It's all positive. It's Christ.
Amen.
I guess for...
Yeah.
So maybe, Zeke, we'll have a few announcements.